Good morning, everyone. I said, good morning, everyone. Amen. How is everybody feeling on this morning? Blessed. You are truly blessed and highly favored because you serve an awesome and loving God. Amen. We are going to kick things off. I just want to just say this. Bless the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. And if you love God with all your mind, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Say amen. Amen. If you know that Lord has been good to you and your family too, say amen. Amen. If you know that his tender mercies and his grace is sustaining you each and every day, please say amen. Amen. My name is Brother Maurice Bunzi. I'm an assistant minister at the Bryan Church of Christ, and I am grateful to be here with you on this morning. Amen. I want to take this time to thank Brother Sharp for the invite to share God's word with you on this Lord's Day. And I also want to take the time to thank all of the brothers and sisters here at Central Church of Christ, amen, for leading in the worship service on this morning as well, amen. I also want to take this time to thank my wife, Sister Bunzi, for her continued support, who is here with our daughter, Sister Nevaeh. And also thank you to all the members of the Bryan Church of Christ in attendance, Brother Powell, I see you there, as well as the co-laborers in the gospel. And all a very special and warm welcome to all of the visitors here at Central Church of Christ. Amen. Amen. The saints here at Central Church of Christ, they continue to strive to see the world as Jesus saw it, to love the world as Jesus loved it, and to serve the world as Jesus served it. Amen. Amen. And this is beautifully summed up in the Word of God. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, it tells us, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbors as yourself." Amen. Amen. Now, by the grace of God, with all humility, I have the honor to share a portion of God's holy and divine word with you on this morning. The psalmist David said in Psalms 34, verses 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Amen. Last week, Brother Genesis Williams, he brought a heartfelt message, amen. And the message was titled, "Is Life Fair?" Amen. Is life fair? It was coming from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28. And it's a question that crosses the mind of many who go throughout life and experience adversity. Amen. Brother Genesis also pointed out that sometimes, if you're not careful, you may be the one responsible for adding the hot sauce and the vinegar in areas of your life where it is not required. Amen. But don't get me wrong, hot sauce and vinegar, they have their place. Amen. Don't they? Certain condiments, you could use them. Hot sauce and vinegar. But who puts hot sauce and vinegar on a well-prepared chocolate cake? Who does that? Doesn't make any sense. But the point was made by Brother Genesis. He reminded us all that we serve a God that sits high and looks low. We serve a God who is faithful and does not confine our lives into moments. We serve a God who sees and knows exactly where we are and has a plan for our lives. His plan is far better than any plan that we could ever come up with ourselves. God loves us and demonstrates his love dearly through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and reminding us all that he is never too far away from us to be able to reach us. Amen. Seek God in his righteousness while he can be found. Recognize that he always keeps his word, and his word will never return to him void, for it will accomplish its purpose. Amen. Amen. Today's lesson is titled, "Forgiving with a Tender Heart." Forgiving with a tender heart. Now, I know the monitor's not on right here, so may not be anything. Okay, there it goes, back there. Amen. Forgiving with a tender heart. Now, without further delay, let's get right into the Word of God. And at the conclusion of today's lesson, we'll be able to learn more about forgiveness, ask God to unharden the known and the unknown areas of our hearts, and allow us to forgive completely in all areas of our lives. Amen? Amen. Will you turn with me to your Holy Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. And the question to consider throughout this lesson is, what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness and unforgiveness? What does it mean to forgive with a tender heart? How is forgiveness with a tender heart revealed in our lives? And why forgive? Why forgive? Amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to ask this. Would it be inappropriate to ask the church to please stand if you are able for the reading of God's holy and divine word? Amen. Isn't it interesting we can stand at an Aggie football game and we can stand at a Dallas Cowboys game, but if you can see that sometimes it could be a little excessive if we ask an individual to stand for the reading of God's holy and divine word. Just think about that for a second. Now, again, the scripture reading is coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. And it reads, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You may be seated. May the Lord add a choice blessing to all who read and obey his holy and divine word. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and dive in on this lesson on this morning. We'll go ahead line by line. Amen. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." I really enjoy reading the word of God, amen, because throughout the Bible, you can find many distinct patterns, amen. It's like God is intentionally leaving us the breadcrumbs, amen. He's leaving them everywhere. You can see it in all of the stories. You can see it in all of the, you can look at the Faith Hall of Fame. It's all throughout the Word of God. And ultimately, it's for us to be able to gain a deeper understanding. Amen. I really enjoy it. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, telling them, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." This means that as a child of God, you must be mindful of the things that you say. Amen. Be careful not to use slanderous words. As a matter of fact, it's best to eliminate all forms of vulgar speech from your communication. Amen? Amen? Because it has no place in a renewed heart. I should be pointing to my mind because a lot of times we know that we're very, very familiar with the heart that is in our chest that is a pump, but that's all it is. It's just the pump. Our hearts, whenever we read the Word of God, it is specifically describing the mind. Amen. We have to renew our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And it begins with a thought. That old form of speech and the way of thinking may have been thriving when we were considered the old man, but through Christ, it is a new day. Amen. It is a new day in Christ. Amen. Old things have passed away and all things have been made new. Amen. And we are now transformed. There's a transformation that is taking place in our lives. I was here for the morning of Bible study, and I love the analogy that was given when he talked about how God is continuing to chisel away and mold us by his Spirit. He's molding us and he's shaping us and he's transforming us daily, helping us to be exactly how he envisioned us to be. Amen. It's such a beautiful thing. Amen. The transformation has taken place, and there's no need to revert back to what was once comfortable. Amen. Amen. Jesus said it best in Matthew chapter 15, verses 11. He said it best. He said, "Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." When we open our mouth to speak, think twice about it. Amen. Those who are familiar with the term often used in construction, measure twice, cut once. Are you familiar with that? Measure twice, cut once. Why? Because you want to be sure about the measurements prior to making the precision cuts necessary for the job. Amen. Watch this. The moment that you decide to say whatever comes to your mind, just know that you can unintentionally become unconsciously become a damage to yourself and the people who you are communicating with. Amen. But let me ask you this. Have you ever tried putting toothpaste back into the tube after squeezing it? It's not the most easiest thing to do, right? And it's just a reminder, just so you can get that visual depiction. It is rather difficult to do, but once the toothpaste has actually come out, again, it isn't really easy to get it back in. So ultimately, the point is, think twice, amen? Think twice, amen? Now, the inspired writer Paul, he goes on to say in the text, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying," amen? So the question is, are you sharing to uplift? Are you sharing to enlighten? Are you sharing to improve or provide a testimony that can be useful to those looking to grow in Christ, amen? Are you doing it for those reasons? And if you are, Paul is encouraging us to remember to do it with humility, amen? Remember to do it with the spirit of unity driving you. Remember to do it with the love of Christ that's pushing you and propelling you forward, amen? Amen. Why? Because it's not about us. It's not about us, amen? I'm just a hunk of dirt. I'm just a hunk of dirt standing before you, amen? Amen. And again, with that humility, is recognizing that ultimately, only one gets the glory. Only one gets the glory. And who is that? I hear some of you, but you don't sound convincing. God, yes, God gets the glory. Him and him alone gets the glory. And it will remain with him forevermore. Amen. 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 Now, finishing the verse, of 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Amen. The inspired writer Paul is showing us that by following this pattern, amen, it will lead us to strengthening our daily lives, strengthening our unity, strengthening our faith in Jesus Christ, amen? And when we practice using words of edification, it ministers grace and builds others up in the process, amen? As we seek to answer the first question on this morning, what is forgiveness and unforgiveness? What is forgiveness and unforgiveness, amen? Forgiveness is the act of letting go of resentment, anger, hurt, bitterness, and pain. Notice all of these things that are mentioned deals with matters of the heart. Amen. It deals with matters of the heart. Again, the heart is right here. It is not right here. Amen. When we're talking about scripture, forgiveness is an act of obedience to God that stems from a place of gratitude for his amazing grace. Amen. Forgiveness is God's promise to not count our sins against us when we by faith repent and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. According to scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. We desperately need that genuine forgiveness in our lives, and we desperately need to show that forgiveness towards one another. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ, amen? So many of us in the room know all too well about pain. So many of us in the room know all too well about hurt. So many of us in this room know all too well about anger, about hurt. So many of us in this room know all too well about resentment. Amen. But I want to share this. If you happen to be that one person, that one rare person who can say, "I never had any hurt. I never had any pain. I never had any resentment. I never had any shame or guilt," never say never. Just keep on living. Amen? Amen. Now, unforgiveness is the unwillingness to forgive or excuse people's faults or wrongdoings. Amen? Unforgiveness holds grudges. It replays moments of despair. It feeds bitterness, all under the false sense of comfort found in pain and suffering. Amen. Unforgiveness can at times even limit our ability to see beyond our anger and our hurt and our pain. The truth is, unforgiveness has a tendency to actually rob and steal from us the love that was destined to abound in our lives. Amen. I'm going to read that again. Unforgiveness, it has a tendency to rob and steal from us the love that has been destined to abound in our lives. Well, how do you know, Brother Bunzi? How do you know? I'm glad you asked. The Holy Scriptures, the Holy Bible teaches us, amen. We can see the example of the ramifications of unforgiveness in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, as Jesus shares the parable of the unforgiving servant. Do you have time this morning? Do you have time this morning? Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, amen. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, amen. And it reads, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he had not paid, he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Amen. As read into our hearing, the king commanded that the servant with the outstanding debt be sold to include his wife and children, as well as their remaining possessions. Amen. Now in verse 26 through 28, it reads, at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Wow. Wow. So we see that the servant, in desperation, he begged and he asked for more patience. Then he goes on to say, I'll pay back everything. I'll pay it all. Don't miss it, church. Don't miss it. The first point is, sometimes we ask God for things that we don't even need. Amen? Amen. Here we read that the servant was begging God for patience, begging God for more time. He wanted more patience. He wanted more time. But the truth of the matter is, he needed mercy and forgiveness. Amen. He needed mercy and forgiveness. And just like this servant that we have just read about, we too ask God for things, not knowing or having an understanding of what we truly need. Amen. Amen. We are also in need of his mercy and his forgiveness. Amen. Now notice, if you will, that the servant was in no position. He was in no position to pay the outstanding debt. He wasn't in a position to do that. And yet, when faced with the reality, when faced with the truth of potentially losing everything, losing it all, what was his response? He says to his master, I'll pay back everything. I'll pay it all. Question that I have for you. How many times have you made promises to God that you could not keep? Will you keep your promise this time? Now, verse 27 through 28 tells us that the servant took pity on him and forgave the debt and let him go. But when the servant, who had just been forgiven and set free, found out his fellow servant owed him, he grabbed him and he choked him, demanding him to pay back what was owed. Amen. But watch this. Watch this. In verse 27, the master was moved with compassion to do something that would take care of the outstanding debt in the servant's life and set him free. Amen. Don't miss it, church. Don't miss it. The second point. Sometimes, if you're not careful, we can forget about the amazing grace that has been extended to us. Amen. Can you see that how Jesus has done the same for you and me? On the cross, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. All outstanding debts in the form of sin have been forgiven through his precious blood. Amen. Throughout our lives, we can see that we have so much to be thankful for. Amen. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are also set free from bondage and made whole. Amen. Amen. Now in verse 28, we read that the servant who had been forgiven and set free,
he ran into a servant who owed him some money. Now, the amount that the servant owed him, in comparison to what he had personally been forgiven, was actually much less. Would you agree? Scripture says so. Amen. Amen. Now, according to the NIV, it says 10,000 gold bags, right? 10,000 gold bags versus 100 silver coins. Amen. Now, for example purposes, that would be equivalent to the value of $10 million versus 10 cents. Amen. Again, the amount the servant was forgiven pales in comparison to what the servant actually owed. Amen. But ask yourself this. Is it really about the money? Was it really about the money? No. It's much deeper. It was about unforgiveness. Amen. It was about unforgiveness. We can see this by the way that he handled the servant who owed him. Amen. The way that he handled him revealed the condition of his heart. Amen. As mentioned earlier, unforgiveness, it limits our ability to see beyond our anger, our hurt, our bitterness, as well as our pain. Amen. Verses 29 through 31. It reads. Amen. It says, his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he can pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything. Amen. Everything that happened. Now watch this. How many of us in a room like this servant has ever suffered from spiritual amnesia? Amen. How many of us? Amen. Have you forgotten the mercy and grace that has been extended to you? Where is the love? Where is the compassion? Where is the mercy? Amen. As we read verses 32 through 35, it says, then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Now, this is a moment I'm going to ask everyone. If you have your Bibles, if you have a pen, please, please, please. Verse 32, I'm going to ask you to underline the last three words. In verse 32, underline the last three words in verses 32, where it says, beg me to. Amen. We're going to come back to that. Amen. Underline it. Amen. Verses 33, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had it on you? And in anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then verses 35, to close it out, it says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Amen. Amen. We clearly see that the master has expectations for his servant. Amen. We clearly see that the master demonstrated through his actions what he expects of his servants. Amen. The master says, I canceled all of your debts because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have extended to your servant the mercy that I've extended to you? Amen. But don't miss it, church. Don't miss it. The third point. Sometimes we can selfishly think that the blessings that we are given are only for us and are supposed to stop with us. Amen. We can easily forget that the blessings that we have experienced are supposed to flow through us instead of stopping with us. Amen. We are not the final destination. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 39, it reminds us, the promise is for you and your children and for all. Say it with me, church. For all. Say it with me, church. For all. For all. For all who are afar off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Amen. Amen. Verses 34, the master in his anger handing him over to the jailers until he should pay back the debt owed. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Verses 35 indicates to us that it gives us a depiction of the unfortunate results of harboring unforgiveness, amen, in our hearts. We see that the master expects us to actually let go of the things that cause unnecessary harm, amen. We are giving a warning about the dangers of holding on to unforgiveness. Holding on to unforgiveness will actually be to our detriment in the long run, amen, unless we forgive with a tender heart, amen. Now, as we continue with the lesson text, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Amen. Amen. Now, when we see Holy Spirit, when we see that the Holy Spirit is grieved, it means that to be grieved, it means to be caused with sorrow or sadness. Amen. It's causing that grief, that sorrow or sadness to the Holy Spirit. When we choose not to be humble and submit to God, when we choose not to pray, when we choose not to spend time with the Lord and praise Him and thank Him, when we neglect to honor Jesus, when we neglect to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, that is when we are actually grieving the Holy Spirit, amen. When we do things that are contrary to God's will, that is when we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God, amen. When we carry around unforgiveness, it actually drowns out the very comfort, the very comfort that we've actually been gifted by God, amen. But think about it. For those of you who have already obeyed the gospel call, amen. Those of you who have already obeyed the gospel call, you have been gifted with another help, the Holy Spirit, which is the evidence of being touched by the tender love of Jesus. But guess what? If you have any trace of unforgiveness in your heart, no one can tell. No one can tell that you're actually His. No one can tell, or no one can witness, that you are actually a witness of Christ. Amen. All because of that unforgiveness that you have in your hearts. Amen. Amen. No one can tell that you're a Christian when unforgiveness goes unchecked in your life. Amen. Amen. In the book of James, chapter 2, verses 13, it says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Amen. This means that for those who will not show mercy, they cannot expect to be given mercy. Amen. I'm going to read that again. It says, "For those who do not show mercy, they cannot expect to be given mercy." But the question here is there a difference between forgiveness and mercy? Is there a difference between forgiveness and mercy? Yes, actually, yes, there is. Absolutely, there's a difference between forgiveness and mercy. They are not the same thing. For example, mercy is compassionate behavior or forbearance shown towards an offender. Mercy is overlooking someone's mistake or faults and extending a helping hand. Mercy is having leniency towards someone who is deserving of punishment. Mercy is not making it difficult for someone to apologize or make amends. Whereas when we look at forgiveness, for example, it is the act of letting go. Amen. It's the act of letting go. Forgiveness, in other words, is pardoning someone of wrongdoing and letting go of the desire to seek revenge. Amen. Letting go of anger, pain, resentment towards a person who has actually hurt you. Amen. Forgiveness is the action or the process of forgiving or being forgiven. Amen. Okay, recap. Mercy is the act of withholding punishment or harm that someone deserves. Forgiveness is the act of letting go of the desire to get even. Amen? Amen. Jesus said it best in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen. As we continue with the second to last verse of our lesson text, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Amen. The Apostle Paul, again, is reinforcing the notion that as we look to put on the new man, it requires taking off the old garments that no longer serve us. Amen. Paul says, "Let all bitterness," amen, Watch this. Bitterness, it refuses unity of any kind. Amen. When someone is engulfed with the spirit of bitterness, it's like watching them drink deadly poison repeatedly and then watching them complain about it. Amen. Amen. It's very, very dangerous. Amen. Paul says, let all wrath and anger. Watch this. Wrath is an intense emotional state of displeasure. People who experience wrath often express it in outbursts. And anger, on the other hand, is a strong feeling of annoyance that builds up tension and hostility until it actually explodes. Amen. But remember, unforgiveness can limit our abilities to see beyond the pain that we experience. Amen. The inspired writer Paul says, let all clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Watch this. Clamor is a loud, confused noise. And evil speaking is saying ridiculous things about someone or something in a slanderous way with an intent to cause pain. Paul goes on to say, put all these things away from you with all malice. That word malice means the desire to upset or cause harm or injury. Amen. What comes out of the mouth reveals what is in your heart, your mind. Amen. Amen. King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your hearts. Amen. Paul is teaching us, church, and hear me well. In order to deal with the symptoms of unforgiveness, you have to first start at the root, amen, the control center, the mind, watch this, the heart, amen. Trees have roots that go deep into the ground, but the root that we possess, it sits at the top of our crown, amen. What does it mean to forgive with a tender heart? What does it mean to forgive with a tender heart? The prophet Isaiah shares details of this, of what it means to forgive with a tender heart. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 11, it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Now, for a moment, I want you to think about this. Think about the shepherd. Think about what the shepherd goes through to ensure that each lamb is safe. Think about it for a moment. Think about how the shepherd provides both food and water for the flock. Think about how the shepherd shows his tender love and care through his actions. Amen. Despite the many times that the lambs have a tendency to go astray, despite the many times that the lambs have a tendency to hurt themselves, amen, the good shepherd gathers the lambs in his arms. He keeps them close. He carries them in his bosom and gently leads those who are with young. Amen. To forgive with a tender heart is to forgive even when it hurts. Now I must clarify this, and it may get a little quiet, quieter than it is now, but that's okay. If you are being physically or emotionally abused and your life is in danger, run for your life. Amen. Forgiveness is not foolishness. Forgiveness is not condoning what a person did to you or trusting the offender. Forgiveness is not relieving the person of their responsibility either. The scripture doesn't say that the shepherd punches the sheep in the stomach or punches the sheep in the face when they have gone astray. Scripture doesn't say that, does it? Amen. No. See, I knew it was going to get quiet, but again, I know it may have touched the nerve, but amen. I wanted to make sure that I pointed it out so that we can just be all on one accord. Amen. But watch this. I give you another example. If a person commits a crime and I forgive them on a personal level, does that mean that that person that I forgave is absolved on a social and civil level as well? No, it doesn't mean that. But guess what? That's up to the judge to decide. That's none of my business. If the judge decides to pardon them, then that's on the judge. But at the very least, we have a responsibility to do what is right. Amen? Amen. The point is, there are consequences for our actions, and if we want to truly know how to forgive with a tender heart, let's follow the pattern of the Master Jesus Christ with understanding his character of building others up instead of tearing them down. Amen? Amen. As we continue, the psalmist David The psalmist David, the psalmist King David, he understood that he needed to repent and ask for forgiveness after committing the sin of adultery. David understood that he needed to repent and ask for forgiveness for the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Psalms chapter 51, verses 10, it reads, and this is David, he's calling out to God, amen. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Did you catch that, church? Did you catch that? He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. It's not enough that David asked God to clean his current heart, amen. David is asking God to create a brand new heart, amen, and a renewed spirit as well. See, David, he is aware that this is only something that God could be able to change, amen. God is the only one that is able to do this thing. So he's going to him. He's going to the source, amen. And we can actually read in scripture and learn that there's no difference with us. We have to go back to the source. And even now, we too must ask God to do a complete renovation. How many of you watch those renovation TV shows, Fix and Flips and all that? Imagine that. That's our hearts. He has to fix our heart. The Lord is going to fix our heart like that, but it's not for not for anything monetary or anything like that. But the point is, again, God is doing that renovation. We have to call and ask him to do that renovation in our hearts. But why? Why? Why are we asking him to do that renovation? It's because the heart that we currently have may have some hard spots that were supposed to be tender. Amen? Amen. As we continue with our final verse of our lesson text, verses 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What is kindness? Kindness is being considerate to others, amen. It's a quality of extending generosity to others, amen. There's no shame in being kind. There's no shame in being kind. So when the Apostle Paul encourages the church as a whole to be kind to one another, understand that he is speaking from the revelation of God's generosity and his generousness to forgive us, amen. That's where he's speaking from. That's where he's coming from when he's sharing that. Again, there is no shame in being kind, amen. Paul says, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. There's strength in kindness, amen. Would you agree? There's strength in kindness. The world may say otherwise. It's like, hey, don't let your kindness be weakness. No, but the scripture tells us that there is actually strength in being kind, amen. There's strength in being kind. There's strength in forgiving one another, amen. The apostle understands that the reason behind this is that there's strength in kindness because it actually unites us, amen. It unites us as one, and it points us back to the tender love of Jesus Christ, amen. There's no shame in being kind. But you know what? You know what? It's shameful for us to carry unforgiveness in our hearts, knowing that we have complete restoration through Jesus Christ. It's also shameful for us to hold on to things that God has told us to let go of. Amen. It's shameful for us to pretend as if nothing is wrong, knowing deep down there is, but fail to ask for help through prayer and intervention. As we continue, how is forgiveness with a tender heart revealed in our lives? The inspired writer Paul says in the text, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness is revealed in our lives the moment that we choose to obey Jesus and his example of merciful and sacrificial love. Amen. Now, in this world, unforgiveness is actually celebrated. Would you agree? Unforgiveness is promoted. It's even encouraged. The world promotes phrases like, God forgives, but I don't. The world showcases people embracing unforgiveness as a cloak to fuel their selfish ambitions. But the truth is, if you're not careful, your resentment, your anger, your hurt, and your pain that is in the form of unforgiveness can easily be an idol that you serve rather than the true and living God. Amen. Idolatry is the worship of something or someone as God. So when you replace your primary relationship, which is supposed to be God through Jesus, with your fixation on your unforgiveness, it's actually a form of idolatry. Amen. But the sad part about it is, if you're not careful, you'll actually convince yourself that you are justified in your action while at the same time forfeiting the promise of God. Amen. Forgiveness with a tender heart can be achieved only when we submit to the way that Jesus teaches us. Amen. Jesus loves those who don't deserve to be loved. Amen. Jesus loves those who are hard to love. Jesus gives generously, and he finds the good in all things. Jesus obeys the will of the Father and is even mindful of what others go through and extends grace to them. Amen. Now, as we look to answer the final question on this morning, why forgive? Why forgive? Now, earlier on in the sermon, I asked you to hold a verse. I asked you to underline a verse. It was Matthew chapter 18, verses 32. I would like for you to keep it handy. Amen. Keep it handy, because we're coming to a close. Amen. Amen. Why forgive? The Apostle Paul, he says towards the end of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 32, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. There are three words that stick out no matter how many times that I read these three words. Every time it strikes me right in the heart. These three words, they're significant. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Don't miss it, church. Don't miss it. Again, earlier I asked you all to underline a few words from Matthew chapter 18, verses 32, where the master tells the servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Begged me to. But truth be told, we didn't have to beg Jesus to die for our sins. We didn't have to beg him. We didn't have to beg the Master Jesus to lay down his life for us. But yet he did it willingly, saying, Father, if it thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. No greater love has one than this. To lay down one's life for his friends. We are the debtors who are forgiven an outstanding debt of sin. Do we have the right to withhold forgiveness and mercy from one another? Do we have the right to withhold forgiveness and mercy from one another? Jesus, in his forgiveness, forgave our sins, knowing we would sin again. Jesus, in his forgiveness, bore all the penalty for the wrong that we did against him. Jesus, in his forgiveness, has once and for all paid the price for our sins. And as I close, 1 Peter 2, verses 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to the sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. If you are not a member of the Lord's body, and you're asking, what must I do to be saved? Listen carefully. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only begotten Son of God the Father, who died for all of our sins, was buried in the tomb, and rose again on the third day, according to Scripture. And that is the gospel truth. That is the good news. Amen. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the one and only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And in order to be added to the Lord's body, you must follow what the Bible says, and that is to first hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verses 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 8, verses 37. And Philip said, if thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must repent and turn away from your evil ways, Acts chapter 17, verses 30. In the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent. You must confess with your mouth and believe with your heart the gospel truth. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And also be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Then Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And last but not least, be obedient unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verses 10. Fear none of those things that thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Amen? Amen. If you are already a child of God, and you have been dealing with unforgiveness in your heart, repent and ask for forgiveness, and by faith be restored before it's ever too late. Amen? One of the greatest lies that the enemy has ever told us is that you have more time. But I'm here to tell you the truth. Your days are numbered, amen. The time to be faithful is right now, amen. The time to forgive with a tender heart is right now. The time to let go of all the hurt, all the pain, all the guilt, all the shame is right now. Why? Why, you ask? Because there is no repentance in the grave. Amen. If you're listening today and recognize that God, if you're listening today, I want you to actually recognize that God is fully aware of your pain. He's fully aware of what you're going through. Amen. Just let it go. Amen. Let's not be prisoners to our past. It was actually supposed to be a lesson for us. What did you learn? Every time that you take it upon yourself to revisit or reopen the wounds of the past, it's like giving yourself a life sentence over again. Let it go. Amen? Let it go. Your pain does not make you who you are. Come and obey the gospel call and watch the Lord reveal to you exactly who you are destined to be. Let go and let God do work in you as we stand to sing the invitation song.